meritassemblyonline.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs, Pastor Emeritus Assembly of God, and we are here to refresh you in the name of the Lord. And I pray that that you will be blessed and be a blessing to those around you. Starting off today, I want to tell you about JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need a project done. And so I was over at someone's house recently, and I noticed that they had a new section of concrete. And you know, you might not pay attention to that. For us, it was the first time we had encountered that, but I knew what it was like before, and it's like, oh, I see that you have made an improvement. It wasn't a major project or anything like that, but it was something that you could tell and say, you know what, that looks a whole lot nicer. If you are working on a home improvement project and maybe you're looking to, you know, put a pad out there for, you know, a grill or something like that, give the folks at JITS Concrete a call. This number gets you in touch with Greg. You can tell Greg you heard about him on the Refresh radio program. Their number is 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I don't want to give you an idea that they only do small projects, because that's not the reality. They can do a small project, a medium-sized project. They can do a really, really, really big project. It just depends on, you know, what it is that you need to have done. I know some communities have used them for sidewalks. Others, you know, they've done driveways and all sorts of things. They've got the expertise, the experience, and the hard work ethic to make your project move from a dream to a reality. So give them a call and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, 321-536-5804. So, we are going to begin discussing today the last of the partnerships that we have been talking about, seeking truth. When you find truth, you find these other aspects as well. And this one is going to be a little bit different. Let me just tell you some of the things that we have talked about so far that we're partners. When you find truth, you find sincerity and peace and justice, faithfulness, mercy, sanctification. You find knowledge and righteousness and goodness. You find acts of love. You find kindness. You find spiritual worship. You find wisdom, instruction, understanding. You find growth. When you find truth, you find grace. You find life. You find guidance. And you find light. Today, I want to take you in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 26, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 12. This is a passage where Paul is on trial, and he is speaking to King Agrippa and Festus. Festus was the one who was in authority, and Agrippa happened to be visiting and longed to hear about what Paul had to say. And so this was Paul's response to King Agrippa. In verse number 12, I'm not going to read the whole thing, so I'm just going to skip down to verse number 12 just to give you the context of where we're going today. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that Christ would suffer, he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason, for the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So that's Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 31. The verse that we see what is partnered with truth is in verse number 25. But he, Paul, said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. So I say that this one is a little bit different from all of the other ones, because it talks about things that we get added into our life, and you know, like we want more sincere people, and we want peace, and we want justice, and we want faithfulness and mercy, and so all of those fit kind of into a benefit package. But Paul says here, not only do I speak the truth, but I speak it with reason. There are many people who live their life as if Christians, when they accepted Jesus as the Lord of their life, they are viewed as having checked their brain at the door, and that they no longer are able to process thought in a reasonable manner. I want you to know that that philosophy, that opinion, is not reality. It should not be reality. The truth of the matter is that when we ask Jesus to come into our heart, he does change our mind. He changes us from having a reprobate mind or an unredeemed mind, an unrenewed mind, or a mind that's not been refreshed, if I can throw that in there. And he transforms our mind to where it functions the way it was designed to function. So when I'm here on the radio and I'm speaking something, I'm trying, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to present the truth of God's Word in a reasonable manner. So it's not that I'm just speaking things that I've heard other people say. That's, in fact, you will find that I have a different approach to communicating God's word than many people do. I have emails that come in on a regular basis, and they're saying, "Hey, we can provide you with a year's worth of sermons." Well, that's great, you know. I'm not opposed to learning from other people, but you know what I really want Merit Assembly of God to hear? I want them to hear what God has to say to them today. And so whenever I'm preparing for a message and preparing for here on the radio, I may have some things that I've heard other people say that I will communicate from time to time, but I really want to know, God, what do you have to say? And so the word of truth that we communicate also is spoken with substantiation. There's good reason for what we believe. Paul said, I'm not insane. Festus, when he heard everything that Paul had to, he heard it and he said, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Your much learning is driving you mad." And it was because some of the things that Paul believed involved the supernatural, not just the natural. You know, when he starts talking about Jesus raising from the dead, when he starts talking about the help from God, verse number 23 is the immediate context before Festus interrupts, and he says that Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. All of a sudden, that changes the paradigm. We live in a society now, there were people who had this philosophy then, that when you died, that was it, you were done. And at that point in time, there's no accountability, so if you made any mistakes, you just, you know, it got washed under. Hopefully they edited that out as they're trying to remember you. But when Paul says Jesus Christ was the first to rise from the dead, not the last, not the only to rise from the dead, that means that there is coming a day when we are all going to be standing in the same position that Paul is, having to give an account for himself. Only this time, we're not giving an account for a false charge that had been leveled against us, but we would be standing there having to give an account. How did we respond to Jesus? So Festus is confronted with this reality that one day the roles are going to be flipped, and he's going to have to give an account to God. And that's like, that's illogical. How does something that is dead come back to life? Well, I want you to know that with God, all things are possible. Just because man does not know how to do something does not mean that it is not possible. And putting faith in a supernatural realm over that which is natural, that just really caught Festus off guard, and he accused Paul of being insane, and he says, "No, I've got very sound reasoning for why I believe the way that I do." I remember when I was in my fourth semester of college, I had a professor. I'd started out at one school. I was getting ready to transfer to another school, and I decided that I would get the last of my prerequisites or my basics out at a community college, and I would save some money. And I did. I was like, why didn't I start here earlier? And I would have saved myself thousands and thousands of dollars. Little did I know. But my professor at the community college was also one of the professors from the school that I had just left. And there were some Christians in the class, and there were some non-Christians in the class, and I didn't really care too much for the professor's approach. Their approach to society, to sociology is what the class was the reason that you are where you are is because that's the way that you were raised. And that I just don't believe that. I don't believe that because I know too many people whose lives started out with no exposure to Jesus, and now they are wholeheartedly sold out to Jesus. So I didn't believe it then. I don't believe it now. I believe that you make choices, and you need to choose what you're going to do with Jesus. So there was one denomination that was represented there, and they spoke up about that. And you have to understand, I'm not at that stage in my life, I was not real outspoken. I'm an introvert by nature. Now, you have to get over that in order to have a radio program, because introverts don't really like to talk much. So, you know, if you're on the radio for 30 minutes and you're not talking, not communicating anything, that's going to make for really bad radio. It's not going to do much. And so I refer to myself as a recovering introvert. So I still, you know, like to find out what other people are doing and be invested in them. But God has given me the ability to communicate. Hopefully I do that well. Try and do it better. So at this stage, this introvert became motivated to speak up, and I said, why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Okay, and so I want to ask you, as you are looking through the course of your belief system, you know, maybe you want to write a little postcard and ask yourself, why do I believe this? And so I asked that question that day, and their response was this, and I quote, what does it hurt? What does it hurt if I believe this? And it wasn't that I was threatened. The scripture does say that we are supposed to be ready. We are supposed to be instant in season and out of season. We need to be ready to give an account for what we believe and why we believe it. What was it that had happened to Paul that caused him to have this new belief system that was not a belief system that he was raised with? He found himself at one point in time being very hostile to Christians, and now he finds himself being a very persecuted Christian. What was it that caused him to radically change his life? And so he goes and he shares his personal testimony. He goes on, and at one point in time, he says in verse number 20, that he was not disobedient to the encounter that he had, but declared first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me. He said, I'm here. They had their reasons. Their reasons had a lot to do with defending their faith. And he said, and I understand that because that's where I used to be. But I have very good reason for proclaiming the truth here before Festus, before King Agrippa, before the queen. He said, I will proclaim the truth in a reasonable manner. So the word reason there means I will proclaim the truth with soundness of mind. I will proclaim the truth with moderation and discretion. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. So we have the ability to process things in a reasonable manner. So that's why when God lays something on my heart and I go to the Word of God. I don't go to the commentaries and say, okay, what's the commentary say about this so I know what I should say about this. I want to go to the Word of God and say, what does the Word of God have to say? So, you know, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't really have given a whole lot of attention to all of these things that are coupled with seeking the truth of God. If I hadn't been prompted in my prayer time to say, I wonder what else God says to seek besides seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, my brain says, I wonder what else God tells us to seek. And so I look to the Word of God. I was reading the Word. It was just my devotion time the other day, and I read a word, a scripture, and I hadn't really paid attention to it. And it's like, you know what? That's one of the reasons why I believe what I do in regards to this over here. And then a few days later, somebody said, I'd like to talk to you about why you believe that. And I said, well, I just read this verse. And it's like the nature of God is not going to criticize man for doing something or not commend man for doing something, and then God's going to do exactly the opposite of it. He's not going to criticize man and then do the exact same thing. I said, I believe in the nature of God. And it's because of the nature of God that he doesn't treat his children in a universal manner, a one-size-fits-all manner. He deals with his children on an individual basis. And what I mean by that is if you've got children that are obeying and disobeying, you don't punish the entire group of people for the disobedient action of just one individual. That's not the way that God operates. So Paul says, I speak the truth and with truth and reason. So I want to, you know, just challenge you. Do you know why you believe, so that if somebody asks you, well, why do you believe that, you could tell them? So earlier this year, or last year, you know, it was only a few months ago, but we've turned the calendar since then. There was a guest speaker that we had, excuse me, that was into my elbow, by the way. And they presented the gospel, they presented the scripture, and they said, okay, I'm going to, this is going to be more of a teaching than a preaching. And they said something in that service, and I said, how have I never heard that before? And so here's what I do. Whenever I hear something that I've never heard before, I go to the Word of God, and I look to see if what I just heard that I'd never heard before is actually scriptural or whether it's not scriptural. So in this case, I looked and I said, sure enough, how have I not heard that? Boy, that would have made a big difference if I'd known that 30 years ago. But I now have heard it, so it makes a difference in how I'm going to do that aspect of the ministry in the days to come. However many more years, I could still have a long preaching season ahead of me. It's going to make a difference in that. To contrast that, there was another statement that was making the rounds, and I heard it, and I said, I've never heard that before. And so I started doing some research, and I found out that the reason I'd never heard that before is because it was something that had just been made popular in the last 4 or 5 years. And even though preachers were repeating it, there wasn't really an original source that we could go back and say, this is the reason why we believe that. And so I went to the person who had told me that, and I said, okay, this is why I cannot share that, is because I cannot find any substantiation in the Word of God for that. Not that it might not be true, but I can't substantiate it, and so I can't say, well, here's the reason why I believe that. I don't put my faith, I don't put my, my reasoning in anything other than what I find in the Word of God. So if someone were to ask you why you believe in Jesus, your answer needs to be, well, you know, I was raised in church, I was raised in this church, and because of that, I just believe exactly like I've been taught. Well, that's great, but you need to know why you were taught that. And you know, I remember taking systematic theology when I was in college. Excuse me. Taking systematic theology when I was in college, and I remember saying, okay, well, I see why they say that, but I would use a different verse. I don't find that the verse that they use as a reason is all that valid. And so that's where I was. I had a situation one time, and they said, you know, there are two schools of thought when it comes to this. There is this view and that view. What do you believe? And I was able to say, I believe this view because exactly this passage right here. And it might be hard for man to make a clear-cut distinction, but it is not hard. It's not difficult for God. So the thing I want to challenge you today is that you grow in your faith, you grow in your knowledge and the awareness of the Word of God, because we live in day and time where people want to know the truth. People need to know the truth, but they also need to know why. Why do you believe what you do? Why do you believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father? Why do you believe that His shed blood washes away your sin, cleanses your unrighteousness? It's because of the Word of God. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.